to turn away from him. Then the temptation. When Satan approached Eve, he cast doubt on God's word. Satan says, "Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" See the difference between what God has said and what Satan is telling Eve. God has forbidden them to eat only one tree, but Satan says, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden. He lies about the consequences of disobedience also. We can compare that to what happened in the wilderness when the Lord Jesus Christ was tempted. It was the same. He always lied, the Satan. In Genesis 3, "And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, or shall you touch it, lest you die. Then the serpent, the Satan, said to the woman, you will not surely die." In this way, Satan discredits God. He casts doubt on God's goodness by claiming that he has restricted their freedom. He rouses pride in them by promising that they will become like God. In Genesis 3, verse 5, we read this: "For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God." That is Satan who says that. "Knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruits and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Now the fall of Adam and Eve by following Satan and eating the fruits. Adam and Eve detached themselves from their creator. And their love for him weakens. They no longer trust him completely. They don't trust God completely. They seek first their own interests and their own glory. They do not consider the consequences of their actions. They succumb to temptation when the Lord resisted Satan with the example. The contrast was the Lord Jesus Christ in the wilderness. He resisted Satan, who came with the same strategy. But the Lord Jesus Christ said no. He presented the word to the Satan, and Satan left him. They disobey God's word, Adam and Eve. Disobey God's word. What are the consequences of this fall of man? We can find something in Romans 5 that reminded us that, "Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because of all sinned." Through the fall, sin entered the world, completely disrupting the order of God's creation that you have seen earlier. Its effects are felt in all areas of the human being, of the man, I can say. On the physical ground, physical consequences, suffering, sickness, and fatigue, life on a degraded and hostile earth. Physical suffering. In Genesis 3, verse 16, we read this: "To the woman, God said, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. Then to Adam he said, cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground. On the spiritual ground also, the fall had some consequences. Spiritual suffering, broken relationship with God, condemnation, God's wrath, slavery to Satan. In Genesis 3, verse 23, we read this. Therefore, the Lord God sent him out of the garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken. In Ephesians 2, chapter 1, and you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now walks in the sons of disobedience. So submission to the Satan. Moral consequences of the fall. Knowledge of good without being able to do it. Knowledge of evil without being able to free oneself from it. The perversion of religious meaning. People are distorting the Bible. They are understanding it in their ways. You know that. Fear. The refusal to bear responsibility for one's fault. Let us take the example of Adam and Eve when they were found faulty. And he said, who told you, that is God who told, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat? Hear the response. Then the man said, the woman whom you gave me, the woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree and I ate. So Adam is not taking responsibility for himself. He said that it is the woman only. And the Lord God said to the woman, what is this you have done? The woman said, the serpent deceived me and I ate. So everyone is leaving his one's responsibility for on someone else, on the serpent or on the woman. Consequence on human faculties that were given to the human being. The fall did not destroy God's image in man, but it greatly altered it. Man still has the faculty that God gave him, but because of the fall, he is inclined to use them for evil. For example, he uses his creativity for evil and not only for good. Until today, we are doing that. See what we are doing with the internet, with the intelligence, artificial intelligence, and so on. Good things, but we are using them for bad things. His understanding is darkened, and his knowledge may be erroneous and imperfect. His will is no longer in harmony with God, although he may perform acts in accordance with God's law. Using his capacity to appreciate and choose, man can accept what is according to God or reject it. Man is capable of loving what is evil and can even hate. By thinking about eternity, man can evade the subject and deny the reality of the afterlife and the existence of God. Many people are living in that area of atheism. Man can misuse his authority over creation and do things that are very bad for the humanity. Ephesians 4, verse 17, it says this: "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk the rest of the gen- sorry, should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their hearts." And Colossians 2, verse 8, "Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ." Despite the man's fall, God loves and God's love and justice for him remain. God continued to love man. In John 3, 15 to 16, we read this, that this is the Lord Jesus Christ, that whoever believe in him, is the meaning of the Son of Man who is in heaven and who had to be lifted up like Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. And it is said, mentioned in verse 14 that comes before these verses. So that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And when I was reading this, my thought went to the wilderness where when the snakes beat someone, the person could die. And Moses did the serpent. And when someone was beaten, he had just to look at the serpent and leave. But it was the life for that period because the person had to die later. But looking to the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross, and believing in him, you have not the life for just this life, but eternal life, everlasting life. The difference. So God takes care of man. He desires his well-being now and in the eternity. God values the man's soul. God has many times given the opportunity to men to choose between life and death. Let us take a few examples of some verses. Deuteronomy 30:19. God presents life and blessing versus death and curse. And the outcome is living in God's promise or perishing. In Jeremiah 21, verse 8, God presents the way of life versus the way of death. And the consequence of that is surrender, obedience versus rebellion. In Matthew 7:13-14, the Bible presents the narrow ways versus the broad ways. And the consequence of that is either life or destruction. In Romans 6, verse 23, the Bible presents sins versus gift of God. And the consequence is death versus eternal life. Let us see Deuteronomy 30, verse 19. "I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life that both you and your descendant may live." In this verse, God does not just present the option to choose life or death, but he actually encourages the human being to choose the life. He says, therefore, choose life. Despite the fall of the man, God did not abandon him. When man fell into sin, God intervened and made a promise of salvation. We know that for the promise of the Lord Jesus Christ that has been fulfilled by the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. What can we conclude? I was thinking to the conclusion, and I found that Romans 5 has many things that can be used as a conclusion about the human being on this earth. Let us go see a few verses there. Nevertheless, verse 14, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. And you will see that in this chapter, Paul has repeated himself using different form to express the same thing. And in the next verse, but the free gift is not like the offense. Gift, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, who came, who gave life by grace. The free gift is not like the offense. For if by the one man's offense, that is the Adam's sin, many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. So, one man, many dead, and one person, the Lord Jesus Christ, who took the sins of many, but who also brought everlasting life to to many. And the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. For the judgment which came from one offense resulted in condemnation. One offense, condemnation of many. But the free gift which came from many offenses that were on the shoulders of the Lord Jesus Christ results in justification. Many people were considered as just before God thanks to that sacrifice. 17. For if by the one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so, through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. You see, it is the same thing that is repeated in different verses before our understanding. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience many will be made righteous. I thought that I can leave these verses to you for meditation, and it is what I wanted to share with you today. Thank you very much.